Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Look at your neighbor and say, you're going to be glad you sit by me. Brother Cash is looking around, nobody sat by him. Take note. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you this morning, something that God's really been dealing with me in the last couple of weeks that I wanted to preach on the subject this morning. Everything you need is in His house. Everything you need is in His house. Now, we got home kind of late last night and didn't get into the bed till late. I finally went to the bed at about 12:30 and laid there and tossed and turned most of the night because God was just messing with me, dealing with me. And so I'm not sure exactly how all this is going to come out today, but we're going to let her go and let God sort it out. Amen. I want you to go with me in your Bibles to the book of 1 Kings chapter 7. 1 Kings chapter 7. Everything you need is in His house. Hallelujah. Oh, no, did y'all hear that thunder right then when I said that? So it was just confirmation. Be super spiritual. Yes. Hallelujah. Everything you need is in His house. 1 Kings chapter 7. When you get there, say amen. Amen. If you still don't have it, say hang on. All right. It's in the Old Testament for you Bible scholars. And it begins reading like this. And now the screen has got the King James Version. I'm going to read the New King James Version. We're still down in our technology. Lightning hit us last week. Wednesday a week ago. And we still ain't got everything back up and going. Should have it on your YouVersion.com. But I'm going to read the New King James Version. It says this. Thus Solomon had all the furnishings made for the house of the Lord. The altar of gold and the table of gold, on which was the showbread, the lampstands for pure gold, for five on the right side and five on the left in front of the inner sanctuary, with the flowers and the lamps and the wicks, trimmers of gold, the basins, the trimmers, the bowls, the lathes, the ladles, the censers of pure gold, and the hinges of gold, both for the doors of the inner room, the most holy place, and for the doors of the main hall of the temple. So all the work, here's what I want you to catch. So all the work that King Solomon had done for the house of the Lord was finished, and Solomon brought in the things which his father David had dedicated. The silver and the gold and the furnishings, he put them in the treasuries of the house of the Lord. So Solomon dedicated the temple, and he put all of these things. And why I want to read this passage is to show you or let you see that they brought all of this stuff into the house of the Lord. And then when it was almost done, he went back and got what his dad, King David, had dedicated unto the Lord and brought all of those furnishings and all of those things into the house of the Lord. So let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I pray, God, that I can get this out the way that you dealt with me even last night. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would give me clarity of speech, that I would be able to convey what you have placed in my heart and in my spirit concerning this subject and concerning this matter. God, I pray that you would give us ears to hear and a mind to receive and our spirit open to what you would say today through your vessel in the name of Jesus. And the church said, amen. Amen. Now, we read in 1 Kings, but 2 Kings also tells us an interesting story. And I'm going to try to give you the short version. We're going to read some scripture in 2 Kings, but I want to give you the synopsis, a short version, so as not to bore you. But there's a wonderful lesson that's contained inside of 2 Kings that has to deal with 1 Kings. And it begins in 2 Kings chapter 11. You can turn there. We're going to go there in just a moment. But we find that I'm going to try to say her name right. Athaliah, the daughter of Ahab, and Jezebel is growing older in her years, and in a senseless act, one that really defies any logic, and I read some commentary and nobody else could really give me any insight on it, but it defies logic that she proceeds to seek out all of her male grandchildren and destroys them. And the only thing that I can come up with, and a couple of the commentaries, that she was afraid that they would rise up and take the throne away from her. So she rose up as a grandmother. Some of you grandmothers, can you even believe this? That she would seek out her male grandchildren and destroy them, put them to death. And I don't quite understand what her thinking is. Maybe it was jealousy, maybe it was insanity, or whatever, but that's what happened. But her daughter, by the name of Jehosheba, took one of her grandsons, which was Joash, son of the late Ahaziah, and she spirits him away. She grabs him and takes him up and runs away to try to hide him from this grandmother. Now, ironically, though, where she hides him, I think, is significant, because she takes him to the temple of the Lord to hide him from her grandmother. So that tells me right now her grandmother didn't go to church very often, amen? That she didn't come to the house of God very often. And if she did come, she wasn't very attentive when she was there, because her grandson was hiding in the house. And so even if she had ever gone at all, she certainly hadn't been in a long time, because Athaliah had not darkened the house of the Lord for quite a while, because she was an avid Baal worshiper. She worshipped Baal like her parents did, Ahab and Jezebel. But so the priest of the temple, led by a priest named Jehoiada, he protected, he nurtured, he trained, he groomed this child, Joash, to be the next king over Israel. And it happened in the house of the Lord. I don't know if you're quite getting that the way that I got it, because he was groomed to be the next king. He was nurtured to be a king. He was nurtured to be a person of God, a man of God, and it would all happen there in the house of God. Now, Joash would grow up to be a godly king, one who helped or who loved God, and who did, the Bible says, who did what was right in the sight of God. And I firmly believe it's because that he was raised in the house of God. Now, Joash was raised in the temple to become the next king. And I believe that he was a man of God because he was raised in the house of God. I believe that your children and my children have a better chance of being a man and woman of God if they are raised in the house of God. I thank God for the testimonies of people being delivered off crack and people being delivered off drugs and alcoholism and debauchery. I praise the Lord for that. I have a testimony a little like that. But I believe it is a greater testimony that if God kept you from that instead of having to deliver you out of that. Because I would rather take, my God, I would rather take a chance on my children not being having to be delivered from it, and keep them in the house of God and raise them in the house of God, and let them recognize that everything that you need can be found in the house of the living God. Can you say amen? Now, parents, the pressure of this age is to let up. to not put so much pressure on our kids to come to the house of God, to abide by holiness standards, and to be faithful to church. There is a precedence, a pressure of this age that says, don't do that, that don't make them go to church. And I've heard so many parents, well, I'm not going to make them go to church because I don't want them to not like it. Well, I got some news for you. If you don't make them go to church because they don't like it, then don't make them go to school. But we make them go to school because of the fact that we put a high precedence and priority on the school, but we don't put high priority on being raised in the house of God. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm a drug addict. I was drugged to church when I didn't want to go. I was drugged every time the doors were open, I was drugged. And I can tell you, I didn't like it. And yes, I ran from God and I got away from God. I never did. Oh, God help me. I didn't want to get all into this. I never claimed salvation all through being drugged to church, but there was something that got into my DNA. There was something that got into my spirit. There was something that got into my fiber. And when I grew old, I couldn't help it. There was a calling on my life. There was a drawing on my life. There was a pull on my life. And at the age of 18 years of age, I came to know Jesus as my personal Savior. And I'm happy to say that I've never looked back. I'm happy to say that I was raised in the house of God, and today I'm a pastor because of what God has done in my life and because of all the things that people spoke into my life. I've come by to talk to somebody. Psychologist tells you that'll drive them away, but I'm telling you that if we raise our kids in the house of the Lord, and we don't talk about the church when we're around the dinner table in a negative sense, and if we do what is right in the sight of God, somehow, some way, it gets in us. And here's what the Bible says. Train up a child. It didn't say, que sera, sera a child. It said, train up a child in the way it should go. And when he grows old, he won't be able to depart from it. Can you say amen? They'll grow up to love the church, but they'll grow up to love God. You know what? One of the things I love about my children, and it's always been that way, especially my daughter Lauren. She's always, Daddy, are you going to church? Hang on, let me go with you early. Daddy, can I go to church with you? When she was small, and now that she's a teenager driving, she's usually here before I am, especially on Wednesday nights. Why? Because something, we raised her in the house of God. And let me tell you something, parents. If your children don't love the church, it might be because of the way you're raising them. It's going to get tight before it gets loose, but it's going to be all right. They might leave the building for a while, but the church will never leave their hearts. And eventually they'll find their way back to the building. They may depart from it for a season, but as the wise man says, train them up, and when they grow old, they won't depart from it. Now, Joash was raised in the temple. He was raised in the house of God to become the next king. And now check it. At the ripe old age of 7. You heard me. At the ripe old age of 7, he became king. He becomes king. It's time to raise Joash up as a king. And Jehoiada knew that once Athaliah, his grandmother, found out that they had deceived her, that she was going to storm the gate of the temple and try and destroy Joash. Because they knew that Joash was the rightful king and Athaliah was ruling inappropriately and without her given rights. So in 2 Kings, chapter 11, go there with me. 2 Kings, chapter 11, verse number 3. Here's what the priest does. The priest Jehoiada. He says, so he was hidden with her in the house of the Lord for 6 years, while Athaliah reigned over the land. And in the 7th year, Jehoiada sent and brought the captains of hundreds of the bodyguards and the escorts and brought them into the house of the Lord to him. And he made a covenant with them and took an oath from them in the house of the Lord and showed them the king's son. Then he commanded them, saying, this is what you shall do. One third of you who come on duty on the Sabbath shall be keeping watch over the king's house. One third shall be at the gate of Sur, and one third at the gate behind the escorts, and you shall keep watch of the house, lest it be broken down. Now, the priest is saying, when she finds out that he's still alive, they're going to come in here and try to destroy here. So here's what we're going to do. One third of you are going to stand watch here. One third of you are going to stand watch over there. And another third of you are going to stand watch over here. So he takes some of the captains of the guard and he stations them at the entrances of the temple to keep the intruders out until the coronation can happen. So just in case, though, he says, somebody gets through the barrier, he goes a step further in verse number 7. He says, two contingents of you who go off duty on the Sabbath shall keep the watch of the house of the Lord for the king. But you shall surround the king on all sides. Every man with his weapons drawn in his hand, and whoever comes within range, let him be put to death. You are to be with the king as he goes out and as he comes in. So the captains of the hundreds did according to all that Jehoiada the priest commanded. Each of them took his men who were on duty on the Sabbath, with those who were going off duty on the Sabbath, and came to Jehoiada the priest. And they all said this. All right, priest, that's good. That's great. But there's a problem. We don't have any weapons. What are we going to use to defend the king? Our bare hands? Are we going to have, are we going to just go fisticuffs? And then Jehoiada said, no, I already got that worked out. Because you won't need any of your own weapons. I don't know if you, hang on a minute. You won't need any of the weapons you brought from home. Because everything that you need is in the house. Yeah. Now, here's what he said in verse 10. And to the captains over hundreds did the priests give King David's spears and shield that were in the temple of the Lord. Remember back in 1 Kings in our text that they dedicated these things and they brought all of these things in. They brought in the weapons of their fathers. They brought in the weapons of King David. They brought in the weapons. And so here's what Jehoiada was saying. You don't need the weapons that you have at home. What you need is the weapons that are already in the house of the Lord. My God, somebody hear me. You need the weapons that are already in this house. You don't need the way that you fight out there. You need the weapons of your warfare. They are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting aside every imagination. What you need is spiritual armor, spiritual weapons, and that can be found in the house of the Lord. That's what these men used to fight the enemy of God. They were dedicated weapons. They slew Athaliah and Joash reigned over Israel. Now I'm telling you again, there are people that are trying to fight a spiritual enemy with your own weapons. You're trying to fight a spiritual enemy with your own weapons. You're trying to use your intellect. You're trying to use your crass. You're trying to use your conniving. You're trying to use, work it out and shine it up. But but the enemy of the Lord, you're not going to be able to use the earthly and the weapons that are outside of his house. You got to use the weapons that are already in the house. You see, church, you need to lay them down and come to the house of God for your weapons. You don't need to try to fight alone. You don't need to try to fight by yourself. You don't need to try to fight with your weapons that you have. Fight with the weapons that God is giving you. And you know where you find them? You still find them in the house of God. In the church, you're going to find everything that you need in order to defeat the power of hell. Come on, give him praise. Put down your own ideas. Put down your own philosophies. Put down your own weapons. And get into the house of God. Because God has already placed in his house the weapons that you are to wage war with. And it doesn't make sense to the normal. Doesn't make sense to the average person, carnal person. Doesn't make sense. But if you'll get into the Word of God, get into the house of God, He will teach you how to use the weapons that He has already prepared for you. Now, remember David? David was running from an enemy many years before this. He was running from an enemy named Saul, which was his own, which was the man that he was called to serve. And Saul turned on him. And yet, when Saul, David could have took his life, he said, I refuse to take his life. Because he was once anointed, so therefore I'm not going to lay a hand on him. I'm not going to touch him. But in 1 Samuel, you don't have to turn there, just write it down. 1 Samuel chapter 21. Now therefore, David came running to the temple. And he was hungry. He didn't have any weapons. He was hungry. He asked the priest, he said, what do you have on hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in my hand, or whatever can be found. And in verse 6, so the priest gave him holy bread. For there was no bread there but the show bread, which had been taken from before the Lord, in order to put hot bread in its place on the day when it was taken away. So David came looking for natural bread, but what he got was spiritual bread. What he came looking for was natural, but what he left with was supernatural. Some people come to the house of God looking for companionship, but what they really get is a relationship with King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What some people come is for somebody to wrap their arms around them, but what they get is King Jesus wrapping their arms around them. What they come for one reason, they come for natural, sometimes affection, but what they get is spiritual affection from God Almighty. Can you say amen? But then David didn't bring his own substance. He didn't bring his own weapons. He said, matter of fact, he asked him, he said, I need a sword. And verse 9 says, so the priest said, the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom you killed in the valley of Elah. There it is, wrapped in cloth behind the ephod. If you will take that, take it. For there is no other except that one here. And David said, there is none like it. Give it to me. Now, I know I may be stretching a little bit. But I believe that there are times that we come to the house of God that you're needing weapons and you need to declare there is no weapon like the weapon that is found in the house of God. I believe you need to declare it. There is no weapon like there is in the house of God. I need the church. I need that which is in the church. Everything that God has declared in my life, I can bring it to pass by the weapons that He has already placed in His house. Now, here's the awesome part. When David got to the house, the weapons that he needed for that day was already there. Mm-hmm. You're here today, and whatever you're in need of, it is already here. I'm going to say that again. Whatever weapon you have need of today, it is already here. It might not be found in Ronnie Reed. It might not be found in Brother Cash. It might not be found in Dennis Duggar. It might not be found on the worship. It might not be found. But I promise you that if you will look and you will ask, you will find whatever weapon is needed for your day. I can promise you, you will find it. Hallelujah. See, I just believe that's why David could write Psalms. He could write Psalms like these. Psalms 20, 1 and 2. The Lord hear thee in the day of the trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Psalm 63 and 1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Psalms 73 says, truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had almost nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Then verse 17 says, until I came into the sanctuary of God, then I understood therein. Psalm 77:13, thy way, O God, is in thy sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Psalms 96:6 says, honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Psalms 134 says, behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord that made heaven and earth. Bless thee out of Zion. Psalms chapter 150, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him in his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him in the sound of the cymbal. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him in the string instruments and the organs. Praise him upon loud cymbals. Praise him among the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. I believe he can write things like this because he got his strength from the house of the Lord, the sanctuary of God. Whatever you're in need of today, it is found in the house of God. David had been helped so many times in the sanctuary. He knew the importance of going to the house of God. That's why in Psalms 122:1, he could say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. He knew, my God help me, Jesus. He knew that there was help there. He knew what he needed was found there in the sanctuary of God. See, the problem is we've started looking for answers outside of the sanctuary. We expect people to be our source instead of God being our source. Now, I know that God uses people, but we begin to look to people as our source instead of God. No wonder he was glad. No wonder David was glad. David had already discovered that there was bread in the house of the Lord. He had already discovered there was strength in the house of the Lord. He discovered that there was victory in the house of the Lord. And I've come by to tell you that there's a devil raging, but I still come by to tell you that there's victory in the house of the Lord. There's strength in the house of the Lord. And there's weaponry in the house of the Lord. Somebody praise ye the Lord. One of the biggest lies of Satan, one of the biggest lies of the enemy can tell us is that we don't need the church. I'm grieved in my spirit. The last few weeks I've been getting phone calls from this one particular preacher. He's a televangelist. But against this one preacher, and he's telling me they're having church on Sundays on the phone. And if, just call this number and I can be there with them in church. I don't know about you. There's something missing. There's something missing. And I thank God for TV, and I thank God for those type of services when you can't make it to the house of God, but there's something that's missing. There's something about not being able to be in the sanctuary of God. There's something about not being with your fellow man. There's something missing about not being with other Christians to encourage and be encouraged and to feed off of one another. You know, there's an old song that I reference quite often because I think I know what they meant, and so I don't want to degrade it because it was a good song for its day. But there's an old song, me and Jesus, we got our own thing going. Me and Jesus, we got it all worked out. Me and Jesus. Hey, listen, if Jesus is all you got, Jesus is all you need. But I'm telling you, when you have the opportunity to be in the house of God, you need to be it. Because let me tell you something. God still works through his church. His church is not man's design. It is God's design. His church it was his idea, not our idea. The word church appears 80 times in the Bible. And the first time the word is used by Jesus. Here's what he said. And upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. Hallelujah. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. When the United States, God forbid, is a thing of the past, is a memory, the church will still be standing. Did you hear me? The gates of hell shall not prevail. When Jesus established his church, he established it in victory. Say what you want to. But Pastor, there's problems in the church. Yeah, but there's victory in the church. Pastor, there's hypocrites in the church. Yes, but there's saints in the church. Pastor, there's unbelievers in the church, but there are some believers in the church. But Pastor, there's some wrong in the church, but there's so much right in the church. I still believe in the church, and God still believes in the church. He didn't say that the church would be perfect or without persecution. He didn't say the church would be without trial. But he did say, before the church ever began, when time has come and gone, and every philosophy of man has come and gone, and every institution of man has made origin has risen and fallen back into the dust, he said, I'll still have a church. Glory. The safest place for you and me, in the midst of the middle of all the stuff that's going on and around us, is in the church. The safest place in the storm is in the ark. The safest place in the storm is in the ark. Why? Because it's already destined to overcome. Oh, I don't think you heard me. It's already destined to overcome. I want you to know that I want to be associated with people of victory. I want to be associated with winners and not losers. And I want you to know the church is winners. There might be a church buildings that had to close and those and this and that and the other, but the church of the living God is still strong. It doesn't matter what the devil is doing. The devil ablazes. It doesn't matter. God is dispatching angels to demons, and the power of hell cannot win against a glorious church. And I want to be, I refuse not to be a part of that church. Glory to God. Stay in the church. Stay in the church. Stay in the church. The church was established by Jesus. Had breath, breathed life into it by the Holy Ghost and perpetuated by the apostles. The church is still the medium through which God speaks. The church is still the medium which God anoints and preached the word, heals by the laying on of hands and the elders, and brings comfort and strength and encouragement. He still does that by the church. See, I think that we've, at one time, Brother Cash, we had it messed up. We put the church in front of God. Thank God that we started putting God in front of the church. But so many of us have left the church out. That we don't think church is important, you know. Now, and you're here, and I'm not fussing. Please hear me. But we come to church when we don't have anything else to do. Anything will come in front of the church. Let me tell you what you need to make it. What you need to win is found inside his house in the church. Now listen to me. Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 39. The saints were responsible in the Old Testament to bring oil to the temple to keep the lamp burning. Now listen. For the children of Israel and the children of Levi shall bring the offering of the corn, of the new wine, and the oil unto the chambers where are the vessels of the sanctuary, and the priests that minister, and the porters, and the singers, and will not forsake the house of our God. The saints were blessed by each other's contributions. The church was blessed by each other's contributions. They were fed by the offerings and the input of other members. That's what's so awesome about being even here today, because God has someone over here who needs the prayers from somebody over here. Oh, y'all not hearing me. You know what? You can come to the house of God. And I know that sometimes, if you're not careful, you'll get lost in the shuffle of a large church. But I've come by to tell you, the good thing about a large church, you can always find somebody who's willing to pray. You can, if you can't, my God, if you can't get to the pastor, there's somebody that you can find that is willing to pray, to lay hands and believe with you and agree with you. One can put 1,000, two can put 10,000. And by God, we got to understand that unity is powerful in the eyes of God, in the hands of God. Find somebody. Recognize that I've got what you have is something that I need. God has somebody who's willing to pray. God's going to give a saint on the left side an encouraging word for somebody in the middle. Oh, somebody hear me. God's going to feed one through another. How many times have you left the church and maybe the preaching was okay because I was doing it? Maybe it was okay. Wasn't that big deal? But somebody came up to you, gave you a word. Somebody came up to you, hugged you, and just meant the world to you. Somebody ministered to you. It might not have been the preaching. It might not have been the singing. But somebody said something to you that caused you to be encouraged. What is that? That's one saint feeding another saint. Glory to God. God's going to feed you. That's what's so incredible about the church. We all come together and bring something that no one else can bring. And God dedicates those talents, abilities, prayers, contributions, and they bless the entire church. Leave your weapons at home. There are dedicated weapons in the house of the Lord. There are dedicated weapons. Leave your ideas at home. There are dedicated ideas in the house of the Lord. Leave your strength at home. There is strength in the house of the Lord. There's salvation in the house of the Lord. There's healing in the house of the Lord. There's deliverance in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's peace in the house of the Lord. There's strength in the house of the Lord. There's direction in the house of the Lord. There's provision in the house of the Lord. It is found in His house. It's all in His house. It's all in His house. That's why if me and Jesus have everything going, it's going to include the house of the Lord. Well, I don't need church. You know, listen. I got to be careful. I've been sent word by people that we just decided that we don't need the church. I'm thinking about a couple of families that I know who sent word many years ago that we just decided that we don't really need church. We're going to have our own church and our home. And their family is a wreck. I wish I could tell you everybody that goes to church is that their family is all cool. No, there's dysfunctionalism in there too. But I'll tell you one thing. I would rather take my chances in the house of the Lord than outside His house. I would rather take my chances. It is all in the house of the Lord. That's why, church, if the church is not your mother, then God is not your father. If God is your father, the church ought to be your mother. Too many people think that they can make it on their own, but we need the church and we need each other. We're supposed to do this together. Together. I did a search real quickly. In the King James Version, together appears 484 times in the Word of God. I wrote down a few of them for your listening pleasure. He said, now this is all the Word of God. Let us exalt His name together. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me, God. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Break forth into joy, sing together. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And when they come, they had gathered the church together. They rehearsed all that God had done with them. For we are laborers together with God. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together. Not forsaking the assemblings of yourselves together, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. Don't let the devil trick you into believing that you don't need the church, that the church don't need you. I know the church is not perfect. I know it has its failings. How do you know that? Because I'm the pastor. And I can start with the pastor. I know it has its failings, but it is the institution that Jesus has already said would be victorious. And in closing, I want to share this story with you. In Judges chapter 19, gives us a very gruesome story of a man who had gone to Bethlehem to retrieve his unfaithful wife. She agreed to come back to Jerusalem with him, and they traveled a long way toward the house of God. I want you to hear this. They traveled a long way toward the house of God. But as the night fell on them, they decided to stop and rest. First mistake. Think I'll stop. I'm tired. Think I'll stop. Because an old man came out of the fields of Gibeah, where they had stopped, and persuaded them to come to his house. Come to my house instead of God's house. Come to my house and I'll protect you there. If they had not stopped, things probably would have been all right. But they did. They were sitting around the table having a good old time. Knock came at the door from an evil, perverse man of that city, and who, just like the men of Sodom, desired the male visitors. And they might have carnal relations with them. If you don't know what that means, ask somebody next to you. The man of the house declined, but offered instead. I don't get this. God hadn't given me a revelation on it. But offered instead his own virgin daughter, along with the concubine of his visitor. Now let me just go on record. You come to my house, and my daughters are in there, they want you, I'm giving them you. Just want y'all to know that if y'all seeking refuge at my house. They want you or my daughters, they're going to get you. I'm just being real. You can go to another church and let the pastor lie to you, but I'm going to give them you. So they thrust this concubine outside, where the Bible says that she was abused and used by these monsters of the night. The next day, when the traveler got up to leave, he opened the door and found a bruised, bloodied concubine laying on the doorstep, her hands on the threshold of the house, but her body dead. What a gory story. But yet the meaning is so powerful to us here in 2014. Why, Pastor? Because there will be so many influences in our lives to distract us from our journey. So many influences saying, you're not getting what you need from the church, come here and I'll give it to you. I'll protect you, come here. But the old man in the street can't provide the safety that he says he can. Some of us will be tempted, for their way is easier, seemingly. More attractive, seemingly. More convenient, seemingly. But our only protection in this age is in the house of the Lord. Don't stop. Don't turn aside. Who knows how many family members might die because we turned aside. Let me just... There's a 28 woman. There's a 28-year-old woman. If I called her name, some of you would know who she is. She sat in my living room one night. She's not in church, to my knowledge. Here's what she said, Mom and Daddy. She said, "You don't know what it did to me, Pastor." She still calls me Pastor. She said, "You don't know what it did to me, Pastor, after being raised in church and mom and dad going every time the doors were open. And because of something that happened that had to do with another family in the church, they up and quit going to church." She said, "It did something to me. How could you drag me to church telling me this is what I need, and then all of a sudden, because now you're hurt, that you quit?" How many? How many of our kids will we let die? Because that which we once said was important now doesn't seem like it's important to us anymore. Don't stop. Don't turn aside. Who knows what the long-term ramifications of our lack of attendance or our lack of diligence to the house, our salvation is in the house of the Lord. Everything we need is in this house. Would you stand to your feet? Come on, just lift your hands for a few moments. Hallelujah. Whatever you're looking for, whatever you're in need of, go ahead, ask Him. I know I'm supposed to be closing. I got to close. We got other things going, but go ahead, ask Him. God, whatever you're in need of, ask Him right now.
We worship You.
If you need strength, say, "God, I need Your strength." If you need peace, "Lord, I need peace." Whatever it is you need.
You are the Lord of the breakthrough. We worship You. We worship You. Lord of the breakthrough.
You are.
Lord of the breakthrough.
Yes, You are.
You are the Lord of the breakthrough. We worship You. We worship You. Lord of the breakthrough.
Yes, Lord.
Lord of the breakthrough. You are the Lord of the breakthrough. We worship You. We worship You. Say, Lord of the breakthrough. Hey, Lord of the breakthrough. You are the Lord of the breakthrough. We worship You. We worship You. We need You, Lord of the breakthrough.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Lord of the breakthrough. You are the Lord of the breakthrough. We worship You. We worship You.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray over this congregation that we would recognize that everything we need is in the house. God, let us find that which we need today. Whatever it may be, God, let us find it in Your house, for You are worthy. We bless You, God, and we glorify Your name.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m., and again in the evening at 6 p.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.